Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, January 26th. It is time to check in with Pastor Joshua Scheer from Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Scheer. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy National Lutheran Schools Week, too, by the way.
Ah, that is this week. That's a wonderful thing.
It is. It is. So thanks. So great to get to have all these Lutheran schools around our country. Well, actually around the world that are doing God's good work and helping parents raise up children in God's true word, in the one true faith.
Absolutely. It's just, our fathers started with schools. So I'm blessed to have a Lutheran school in my community. So that's a great thing, and serves both God and the neighbor quite well.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely, that's right. So, it's good stuff.
Well, speaking of good stuff, what good stuff do you have for us this week?
Well, just a reminder again that we're still taking registrations for our conference coming up on February 20th and 21st about when heterodoxy hits home. That is the struggles of pure doctrine and good practices which follow along with it. The struggles that happen with that, and how do we address it, and how do we speak about it, how do we teach about it, how do we act when this happens. So a good set of speakers, so feel free to click on those links on our website, steadfastlutherans.org, and check that out. But beyond that, I've got an excellent article. It's really more of just kind of a repristination of something written by Martin Chemnitz, who is the second Martin. And it's put up there by Pastor Joe Abrahamson, and it's Chemnitz on the duties of the pastor. That, what is a pastor really supposed to be doing anyways? We have a lot of different job descriptions out there, and, pastors are not exempt of such things, and sometimes that job description might get skewed towards certain things, especially things that are noticeable and manageable and quantifiable and, all these different things, like normal employment goes. So we figure maybe the pastor should have something similar. But Chemnitz does a great job of pointing us back to Scripture and what it is that a pastor is given to do. And this comes from his book, The Enchiridion, which is CPH published years ago as Ministry, Word, and Sacraments. However, they also now have put it all together into the big set of Chemnitz's works. And so a great little volume. It's the volume that Chemnitz used to examine pastors when they were candidates for ordination, but also as he went around as a superintendent, kind of like a circuit visitor, and examined pastors to make sure that their life and their doctrine, their teaching were correct, and it was a good tool that served the church quite well. And so, what does God require of ministers in the church? And how does he want them to dispense his mysteries? And there Chemnitz just lays out before him that they're dispensers of the mysteries of God in accordance with 1 Corinthians 4, but they also should set themselves before the future judgment of God. That, a pastor has to do his duties, knowing full well that he will give an account for how he was a pastor. And so I think it's a good word of warning, but also a good encouragement that, that God is keeping track of how a pastor is doing, that it not only is judgment put there, but also the reward, because it speaks in Scripture of that as well, that God rewards for this. So this is, of course, not a matter of salvation. We know that is, of course, by faith in Christ, but there is something more for a pastor that he needs to keep in mind, that there is judgment of how he's been a pastor. Then, of course, the real nitty-gritty of it gets down to the question, what things are required to render faithfulness as a pastor? And so here we come down to, what's the nuts and bolts of it? And, of course, Chemnitz goes through a list here of six different things. He says, first, it's necessary that he hold fast, understand the principles of sound doctrine, and that he be equipped with an average gift to set heavenly doctrine clearly and humbly. So that he should be faithful. He should serve his people with sound doctrine, pure teaching, and he himself should know these things and believe these things. Secondly, he says, you know, let him speak the word of God not only in general, but let him with special love and diligence apply his sermons to himself and the hearers. And so this is, you know, this is the pastoral side of things, that he knows his sheep, and he not only can teach the word of God in general to whoever needs to be taught, but also he knows how to teach and specifically apply that word of God to his specific baptized Christians. And so this is an important thing as well, you know, sometimes forgotten, that, you know, we keep under this pure doctrine, but we also serve this to a specific set of people, the people that God has called us to serve. And so that's a good thing to keep in mind as we do serve. And then, of course, third, a minister ought not only to teach the true things in harmony with the divine word, but he also should render faithfulness to God in these things and, you know, rightly feed the sheep, but also hold off the wolf from the sheepfold. That a pastor serves his people and also serves them, you know, by teaching them the pure things, but he serves them also by kind of fending off the bad things. That you know, part of the pastor is to warn his sheep and teach against, you know, commonly held errors, commonly, you know, promoted errors in our society, things like that. Or even as our conference might talk about, then there might be errors in the church that the pastor might have to address, and that he should do so. And so we do that. And he says, fourth, a faithful minister of the word should consider that he's been set by God as a watchman, a lookout for the church, so that, you know, he's looking for his sheep, and that he's looking after his sheep, and he sees them going astray, and he can note, you know, what is leading them astray, and he can serve as a watchman, calling the alarm for the sins which are causing his people to go astray. So, a good reminder there of the task of the pastor as well, that he does those kind of things as well. And then fifth, he goes into, you know, he shouldn't have an evil life. That a pastor should be in watch over how he conducts himself. And this is good because, of course, an evil life can, as Greg Nanzianzen says, he that teaches well but lives ill takes away with one hand what he gives with the other. And so the teaching and the life go hand in hand. This is just like, you know, hallowed be thy name in the Lord's prayer. You know, well, how is God's name hallowed? Well, by right teaching, but also by right living. So the pastor needs to be concerned about that. And, of course, the last thing he mentions is that no one is fit in and of themselves for such an arduous office, like the office of the ministry, that a pastor needs to be fervent in prayer. And then, of course, we get that example from Paul, that, you know, Paul was a man of prayer, and Paul you know, always was praying for the people under his care and others that he knew in situations that needed prayer. So the pastor himself should be a man of prayer. And that's a hard one because, of course, nobody knows what's going on. You know, the pastor maybe takes time to pray, and, you know, what's the pastor doing? You know, I can't measure that. But that is probably the essential thing for a pastor.
For those of us not familiar with Martin Chemnitz, a little bit of history on who Martin Chemnitz is.
Yeah, Chemnitz is kind of a second-generation Lutheran, and so he's trained. He attends Wittenberg while Luther is there, and so he hears Luther a few times, but he's really a disciple of Philip Melanchthon, who, of course, outlives Luther and kind of takes up the helm after Luther dies. And Chemnitz takes the good from Melanchthon, but then also realizes that Melanchthon is kind of, he's wavering on some key issues. And so Chemnitz becomes one of the great reformers in that during the strife after Luther's death, where, you know, different factions of Lutherans appearing, Chemnitz is really a resounding voice of, this is true Lutheran teachings. This is what the scriptures teach. This is what our previous confessional documents taught. This is what we go with as Lutherans. And so he's one of the principal authors of the Formula of Concord, which is the kind of, it settles a lot of the disputes going on in the Lutheran Church and says, no, this is the position of the Scriptures. This is what we're going to hold to as Lutherans. And so he serves in that way. He serves the greater church, and of course, we're indebted to him for that. He's also a prolific author. He writes all kinds of works, of which Concordia Publishing House has got a number of them out. And he's also a superintendent, which means he not only does the preaching and teaching, but he also supervises an entire region of Germany and the pastors and the parishes. And so he spent a lot of his life dealing with pastors and making sure the pastors were taken care of, but also making sure the pastors were teaching the right things and also taking care of their people the right way. So he's a great, great theologian. He's very easy to read. And there's an old saying that says if the second Martin had not come along, the first might have been forgotten. So the idea there that Chemnitz really kind of solidifies the Lutheran Church as far as its teachings and so forth. So it's he's a great man. Very much a gift from God in every sense of the word, just like we would look at Martin Luther. So yeah.
Well, thanks for that that bit of history, church history today, Pastor.
Absolutely, a record of God's faithfulness to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, very good. If listeners want to find out more, where can they find that information?
Steadfastlutherans.org, and an article I didn't get to is there's an excellent article up there on suffering as being a key to evangelism. So have your listeners, if they get to the site, take a look and find that one by Eric Anderson.
Very good. Very good. Good stuff. Suffering being the key to evangelism.
Yes.
All right. Well, steadfastlutherans.org, you can find those articles and more on their website. Thank you, Pastor Scheer. Always good to check in with you. God's blessings on your week.
Lord's blessings, Eddie.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Hope you can stick around for that conversation. And during the 8 o'clock hour, our study of the daily New Testament reading right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.